Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, This Changes Everything, Capitalism versus the Climate, by Naomi Klein argues that the climate crisis is not simply an environmental problem, but a political and economic reckoning. Klein contends that the scale and speed of emissions cuts required to avoid the worst outcomes collide with a deregulated, growth-first form of capitalism that treats nature as a limitless resource and pollution as an externality. Drawing on reporting, history, and contemporary debates, the book challenges familiar climate narratives centered on individual consumer choices, gradual market tweaks, or purely technological fixes. Instead, it frames climate action as an opportunity to remake priorities around public investment, stronger rules, and greater social equity. The book also examines how powerful interests resist change, how communities are already organizing for solutions, and why moments of crisis can be exploited or redirected. Whether readers agree or disagree, it is designed to provoke a more systemic conversation about what meaningful climate action requires. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, climate change as a systemic political and economic conflict. A central topic is the claim that climate change cannot be solved within business as usual assumptions. The book presents the warming planet as a conflict between physical limits and an economic model that prioritizes continuous expansion, low regulation, and global extraction. Instead of treating emissions as a technical glitch that can be managed with minor policy adjustments, Klein frames decarbonization as a transformation that touches trade, energy, land use, and corporate power. The argument emphasizes that meaningful emissions reductions require deliberate constraints on fossil fuel production and consumption, not only cleaner consumption choices. This inevitably raises questions about who bears costs, who benefits from the status quo, and how societies decide what is non-negotiable. By linking climate action to governance and values, the book pushes readers to consider why climate policy often stalls even when scientific warnings are widely known. The topic also highlights how market-based approaches can be limited when they leave core incentives untouched, allowing industries to adapt rhetorically while preserving fossil dependence. The takeaway is that climate solutions are inseparable from choices about economic rules, public institutions, and democratic accountability. Secondly, the fossil fuel industry and the machinery of delay. Another major topic is the analysis of how established interests protect fossil fuel dominance. The book describes a broad machinery of delay that includes lobbying, funding of doubt, political capture, and strategic public relations. Rather than assuming inaction is accidental, it portrays obstruction as an organized outcome driven by companies and allied institutions that profit from extraction and combustion. This topic explores how narratives are shaped to frame regulation as job killing, to elevate consumer responsibility over corporate responsibility, and to present new drilling or pipelines as inevitable. It also examines the role of think tanks, media ecosystems, and political movements that treat climate action as an attack on freedom or national identity. The discussion extends beyond one company or country, pointing to a pattern in which the industry seeks favorable trade rules, legal protections, and subsidies that keep fossil energy artificially cheap. The book also raises the ethical stakes of continued expansion, given what climate science indicates about carbon budgets and stranded assets. For readers, the value of this topic is learning to recognize common tactics of delay and to understand why evidence alone rarely shifts policy without countervailing power, organizing, and institutional change. Thirdly, market solutions, carbon pricing, and their limits. The book devotes significant attention to mainstream policy tools and why they may be insufficient when used alone. Carbon pricing and cap-and-trade systems are often promoted as efficient ways to reduce emissions while preserving market flexibility. Klein interrogates how these tools can be weakened by loopholes, offset schemes, and political compromises that deliver modest reductions while allowing continued extraction. This topic is less about dismissing every market mechanism and more about questioning approaches that treat climate policy as an accounting exercise detached from material change on the ground. Offsets in particular are critiqued for enabling high emitters to continue polluting while claiming reductions elsewhere, sometimes in ways that create conflicts over land, forests, and community rights. The book also considers how financialization can turn climate policy into a new arena for speculation rather than a driver of structural transition. In Klein's framing, relying primarily on prices and trading can fail to build the public infrastructure needed for rapid decarbonization, such as grids, transit, and building retrofits. The broader point is that climate policy must be judged by real emissions outcomes, justice impacts, and durability, not by theoretical efficiency. Fourthly, justice, inequality, and frontline communities. A key theme is that climate change intensifies existing inequalities, and that solutions must address this reality to be legitimate and effective. The book highlights how harms from pollution, extreme weather, and resource extraction disproportionately hit indigenous peoples, low-income neighborhoods, and communities with less political power. It connects environmental damage to histories of colonialism and land dispossession, especially where fossil fuel projects and mines are cited. This topic also discusses how climate policy can replicate injustice if it ignores distributional effects, such as energy costs, job losses, or land grabs justified by carbon projects. Klein emphasizes the importance of frontline leadership and consent-based decision-making, arguing that climate action should not be built on sacrificing some communities for the benefit of others. The book frames a just transition as both a moral requirement and a practical strategy for building broad support. By tying emissions reductions to labor rights, public health, and community resilience, it suggests climate action can improve daily life rather than impose austerity. Readers come away with a clearer view of why fairness is not a secondary concern, but a foundation for durable climate progress. Lastly, from protest to policy, building a mass movement for transition, the final major topic focuses on pathways for change and the role of social movements. The book surveys forms of organizing that challenge extraction projects, resist deregulation, and push for public investment in clean energy and resilient communities. Rather than positioning individual lifestyle change as the primary lever, it emphasizes collective action that shifts rules and power. This includes local and regional battles over pipelines, coal terminals, and fracking, as well as broader campaigns for climate legislation, reinvestment, and community control. Klein also engages with how crises can be used to advance agendas, warning that disasters can entrench privatization and inequality if responses are designed for profit rather than public good. In contrast, she argues for proactive planning that treats decarbonization like a shared public project, comparable in scale to other historic mobilizations. This topic addresses the emotional and cultural dimensions of action too, such as confronting fear, cynicism, and the sense of inevitability promoted by entrenched interests. The practical message is that solutions emerge when communities link climate goals to tangible benefits, create alliances across sectors, and insist on policies that match the urgency of the science. In conclusion, this changes. Everything is best suited for readers who want to think about climate change beyond science headlines, including students, activists, policy-minded professionals, and anyone frustrated by decades of stalled progress. It can also benefit readers who do not share Naomi Klein's politics, because it lays out a coherent case for why incrementalism often fails and invites serious engagement with the relationship between markets, regulation, and public investment. The book can improve a reader's life by clarifying how climate decisions connect to jobs, housing, health, and community resilience, making it easier to see climate action as a practical civic issue rather than an abstract moral burden. Compared to many climate books that focus mainly on technology, personal behavior, or distant future scenarios, this one centers power, incentives, and the real-world barriers that shape what policies are possible. Its value lies in linking climate solutions to questions of democracy and fairness, and in mapping how movements translate urgency into institutional change. If you want a big-picture framework that connects energy, economics, and justice into one argument, this book is worth buying and debating. If you would like to support Naomi Klein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.